Who is this guy? He calls himself Dr. Doctor, and he thinks he knows something about the Bible. Let's see if he really does.
Hello, and welcome to the 7th program of the Ask Dr. Doctrine radio show. Today's program is being heard on March 3rd, 2016, and is on the topic of evolution and the Bible, and is entitled, Evolution is Impossible. If you were Satan, how would you deceive the nations? Well, you'd have to discount the claims of the Bible as being just a myth, a fairy tale, a make-believe story about an imaginary God. It is true that we cannot see God, but we can sure see evidence of God in the world. Well, I'm here today to tell you about some of that real evidence, some real facts from the earth itself that demonstrate the Bible to be true. These facts are found in the sedimentary layers of the earth, which contain fossils. You see, these stones were there when the world was created, and they have a story to tell. If a person would just be honest with themselves, listen intently, then they will realize that perhaps they have been misled their entire life, and that the Bible really is true. As incredible as this seems, it is not only a possibility, but an absolute reality. Is the Bible really true? Psalm 33:6 says, "By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, and by the breath of his mouth, all their hosts." Is that true? Did God really make the world and everything in it in just 6 days? 6 24-hour days? Like Exodus 20:11 says, "For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested on the 7th day. In our last week's radio program, I discussed dispensationalism, and one of the dispensations was creation. Dispensationalism is a method of how to interpret the Bible historically. You can go and listen to last week's radio program by going to www.missionsradio.org and clicking on the podcast link. Now, you can also listen on your smartphone. Isn't that great? By selecting the Apple or Google application link at the top of the page. You can listen to any of the past Ask Dr. Doctrine shows if you go to missionsradio.org and click on podcast. Please, tell your friends about the Ask Dr. Doctrine show. It's on weekly, on Thursdays, at 6:30 p.m. Central Standard Time. Today's show builds on sequential shows related to doctrine by clarifying the authenticity of the Bible by proving creation to be true and evolution to be false. Either the Bible is an outdated, antiquated, dusty old book which talks about myths and make-believe stories, or it is true as being authentic from God and reliable for application to life. Most, if not all, schools nowadays that are not Christian schools will emphatically proclaim the Bible to be historically inaccurate, especially when it comes to creation. Of course, they teach evolution. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 says, and it goes all the way to verse 31, but we'll just read verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Is that true? Did God really create everything? Or did he supervise evolution? Is evolution real? Well, let's take a look at the earth. Let's take a look at the fossils. Let's see that fossils, which are supposed to show a progression of life from simple to complex, actually may tell a different story. Is evolution true? Or did God create the earth and the life that lives on it, as the Bible says? Let's think about this. We have now found in our study that the Bible is a more reliable ancient book than any other book. That was discussed in our first show on the authenticity of the Bible. To hear this show, go to missionsradio.org, click on podcast, then search for the Ask Dr. Doctrine show number 1, dated January 7th. Now, I have to say that this was the main reason that I didn't come to Christ, besides just loving my own sinful lifestyle. Yes, I used the excuse that evolution is true, and I believe many, many people, especially students and their teachers, of course, believe the claims about the Bible regarding creation to be untrue. If a person believes the Bible is not true, then they will not believe in heaven, hell, Jesus, salvation, or the Gospels, because they think, well, if part of it's untrue, perhaps the rest is untrue. I don't know about you, but I hate to see people using such an excuse for not believing the Bible. Is it okay to use science as an excuse not to believe the Bible? Is it okay to use science as an excuse to not believe the Bible? Here is a solution to this problem. Now please listen carefully. I'm going to be providing scientific evidence that is indisputable proof. Yes, I said proof that Noah's flood is worldwide, or was worldwide, and that it is a real event. Did you hear that? Let me repeat. I said, I'm going to provide proof that Noah's flood is worldwide and that it was a real event. And I'm not the only one doing this. This has been done by Christians for many years now. And I'm just repeating what I see and agreeing with them. A lot of people say, how can you have proof of something in science like a theory? Well, my answer is that this type of science is earth science, and it's built on something you can touch, see. It's built on mathematics. My proof is a mathematical hybrid scientific claim that is supported by solid facts that are indisputable. Solid facts. I'm talking about first-hand observable facts that anyone can see. There is actually empirical proof that Noah's flood is true. Why is this so critical? It is absolutely critical because it validates the Bible and the origins of world religions. That means that the worship of God based on the Bible is really valid. If present-day world religions stem from their ancestral foundation in Noah as being the only family to survive the flood, then if we teach anything other than Bible truth, we're actually teaching falsehood. Think about it. If Noah's flood is true, what does that do to science? What does that do to the relevance of the Bible? It makes the Bible the most important textbook on earth, really. Now, why would proving Noah's flood really change the world? Simply because Noah had a real relationship with the real God. If every human being on earth stems from such a spiritual leader, Noah, who had it right from the beginning, then every other human religion is a perversion of that foundation. Let's think this through for a moment. If every culture on earth had a true believer in the true God in their history, then worshiping any other God is a lie. Or not worshiping the true God will mean that they are leading a life that is a lie. If you are a teacher and you are teaching these things, you are teaching lies. You are misleading your students. This is terrible. Furthermore, every instance of godly missionary action actually is a bona fide restoration attempt to reinstate the original culture of any people group. What this means is that not only are missionaries valid in the work that they do, but they are completely justified. Any attempt to restore a culture to its original, proper, godly values is nothing but the most honorable profession. These people groups should be eternally grateful that there are people who are willing to guide them back to the truth found in their real forefather, Noah. This is why proving Noah's flood to be an absolute reality is the hinge upon which real frames of history hang. This is the truth, and teaching other philosophies for the purpose and origin of man is a lie. My name is Peter Zakharoff, and I start an online Facebook group called Facebook Seminary, which you can find by typing www.facebookseminary.com into your browser. This will redirect you to Facebook, where you can comment on over 100 Bible topics, including one on creationism. Here, Facebook members discuss the meaning of Bible passages based on sound, hermeneutical, which is Bible study, principles of discovery of Bible meaning. Let's begin with prayer. Dear Lord, thank you for your word. Your word is truth, and anything else that contradicts your word is a lie. Lord, shed your light on this reality and help us to see how you made the earth and how you created life. Lord, you are the way, the truth, and the life. Help people to be honest with themselves so that when they see this truth, that it is real, that they will accept the truth and be set free. Amen. In Jesus' name. I came to know the Lord in spite of this idea that evolution is real. God reached me anyway because I had some problems in my life that caused me to turn to Him. In God's goodness, He knocked out each pillar I stood upon one by one. I trusted in relationships to satisfy me, and God showed me that doesn't work. I trusted in money, fame, thrills as a reason for living, and that didn't satisfy. I put my trust in my church, and that didn't provide satisfaction as a real truth for living. I tried to console myself with travel and was disappointed time after time. Really, drinking, drugs, even friendships fail us. And God uses these reality wake-ups, these failures, to reveal Himself as the ultimate truth. Jesus never fails. But to think that millions of students in schools are being misled by those who teach evolution to be true, and that the Bible is not trustworthy, is a real disgrace, especially in America and England and places that have a Christian foundation like Europe and even the Middle East. All those kids think that science is God. They worship their teachers and the truths that they learn from scientists. They worship the science movies and videos as fact. Worship means they ascribe worth to it. When all the while the Bible is screaming, "Hey, I am wisdom. Come to me. Drink of me. Eat from my table." How can we convince kids that the stories in the Bible about Moses and the burning bush, the parting sea, the establishment of Jerusalem, the coming of the Messiah, are all important reality? We begin by debunking evolution by proving that Noah's flood was real, that it was worldwide, and that life couldn't possibly have had time to evolve. You see, the foundations of evolution are based on artistic sketches, which are based on what is found in what they call the geologic column, or the layers of the earth. According to geology, the earliest layers in the earth were laid at the bottom, and the newer layers were laid upon the older layers. The newest layers are on the top. If you look at the Grand Canyon, for example, you see these layers in the sides of the walls. There are many things to be learned from examining these layers that demonstrate that evolution is impossible. Really, you say? Yes. Scientists have been looking at these layers in the earth, and they have proven them to be ancient, you say. To which I reply, not so fast. Hold on. Let's think about these facts. Number one. The layers have distinct lines of separation. These can be easily seen because of the changes in color between layers. These colors speak volumes. The Grand Canyon is not unique, as many suppose. As a matter of fact, this giant crack in the earth provides a glimpse of what is going on beneath your feet, right where you are, right now. Yes, these layers are everywhere. Get this. Even on the top of Mount Everest at 29,000 feet, the highest spot on earth. The King James Version in Genesis 7:19 puts it this way, "And the waters prevailed exceedingly upon the earth, and all the high hills that were under the whole heaven were covered." Now, listen carefully, because I'm going to go through a whole bunch of evidence very quickly. Please listen to this show again on podcast, and don't be afraid to use the pause button and replay certain parts to fully comprehend each point, because each point is critical and loaded with irrefutable evidence. First, the lines signify a division between layers. Notice the abrupt change in color. This kind of sediment on Earth deposits in lakes and deltas of rivers, but is never, ever, ever sorted like you see in the Grand Canyon. Let's remember, this example of the Grand Canyon is just a picture of what is beneath your feet anywhere in the world. Look, the colors are pure, all the way through, because this sorting is uniform, not happening on Earth today at all. The colors are thick. Some are up to hundreds of feet thick of pure sorted soil. That's not happening on Earth today. How can sediment sort that thick with such purity and then suddenly, instantaneously change to another color? It isn't happening on Earth today, folks. These lines show a consistent thickness for each layer over hundreds of miles. Why are they consistently thick? Look at the surface of the Earth today. Is there a table-like flat surface like you see in these layers? No. This means that when these layers were new, the ones in the Grand Canyon, which are actually beneath your feet anywhere, when they were laid down and when life grew and moved on these layers, there must have been some exposure to the air so these animals and plants could grow, right? Look at the surface of the Earth today. There is erosion, river canyons, valleys, hills, and so forth. Now consider this. I'm going to say this very deliberately. There is no erosion between layers. Okay? Got that? No erosion between layers. Dr. Snelling has a PhD in geology from the University of Sydney. He says, and here's a quote, "In most other cases, the boundaries," he's talking about between the layers, "are flat, featureless, and knife edge, with absolutely no evidence of any erosion, which is consistent with no long periods of elapsed time, as would be expected during the global cataclysmic Genesis flood." End of quote. Here is the proof. No erosion between these layers says these layers were never exposed to the surface long enough for any life to evolve. Did you get that? There was no time for life to evolve. These dead animals, these fossils that they used to build the evidence for evolution, these fossils supposedly lived on these layers. They lived, and according to quote-unquote science, they evolved and died in these layers. So let's review. The thickness of the layers, the sorting of those thick layers, the sharp transitions from one layer to the next, the knife-edge sharp boundaries between layers, what this evidence from the Earth does to evolution and secular education. Think what it does for the credibility of the Bible. This evidence from the Earth validates that the Bible is true by verifying that Noah's flood is a real event. Now, if you want to see my complete video with pictures and music about all of this, please go to YouTube and type in "Evolution is Impossible, the movie." Now, the words the movie are in parentheses. I typed this into the address bar of my internet browser, "Evolution is Impossible, the movie," and it actually came up. The Bible is true when it says in Colossians chapter 1, verse 16, "For by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible." The Bible is true. The earth tells us so. Let's pray. Dear Lord, Your word is true. You were there at creation. We weren't. We trust you that you created man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And the man became a living creature. Man did not evolve. Thank you for sending your son to die for our sins and redeeming us, buying us back, that whosoever believes in you will be saved from hell. Help young people especially to see that the Bible is true and everything in it is real and reliable truth. Thank you, Lord, again for your trustworthy word. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hello, everybody. This is Debbie Zakharoff, Peter's wife. How's everybody doing today? I attended Christian Heritage College, which is now San Diego Christian College, and they had ICR, Institute for Creation Research, on the campus. And we had some great teachers, like Dr. Henry Morris III, Dr. Dwayne Gish, and Dr. Gary Parker. And I remember taking apologetics classes and studying creation and reasons for creation versus evolution. So it was a fantastic learning experience I had at San Diego Christian College. Well, have a great week. Thank you. Bye.
Have been listening to Peter Zakharoff as Dr. Doctrine. We hope you will tune in again. If you have any questions, just send them on Twitter to @DrDoctrine. We will do our best to answer them on the next show. Also, you may contact us on Facebook. Just type in Dr. Doctrine. Be sure and visit us at onlineseminary.info. Until next time, we wish you a blessed walk with the Lord.